by the numbers. That's what New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has said repeatedly. But here he is Monday.
Well, that assumes that the county data is reliable on a daily basis. And as someone who knows what many of these counties are doing and how they're struggling, I wouldn't put it up and say it is reliable and I would count on any given day. That's why I say on all these numbers from day one, don't take any of these day-to-day numbers as gospel.
This begs the question, if numbers are too granular to really be trusted, why are they dictating which regions can reopen? Case in point, Western New York suddenly qualified for reopening sooner than expected because the state made a major change in how it calculated the metrics. Cuomo has said repeatedly that numbers, not emotions, would guide the state's reopening. He recently faced criticism from county leaders eager to reopen. The state changed how it looked at the numbers. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update on the coronavirus in the Connecticut and New York region. Coming up, barbershops and salons stay closed in Connecticut, lane flags on Memorial Day, and bus drivers file a federal complaint saying they aren't protected. I'm Charles Lane. Connecticut and Rhode Island have pushed back the reopening date for barbershops and hair salons. It was May 20th. Now it is early June. We've heard before from barbers who say that they can reopen safely. But now WSHU's Davis Donovan hears from one salon owner who says staying closed is the right call.
Alyssa Haley is the owner of Born and Bred Salon in Hartford.
I think this will provide a little bit more peace of mind, not just stylists, clients as well. And we'll be ready to cut hair in June or when we can.
Other salons in Connecticut plan to reopen Wednesday. Not Haley. She told clients on Facebook she wouldn't open until she was sure she could keep them safe.
I do miss doing hair. I miss my clients. I miss the art of hair.
But she says she'd have to buy a lot of personal protective equipment. That'd be expensive. And she says that PPE is better served on frontline healthcare workers.
There's really no way to social distance my job. I mean, everything that I do behind the chair is in close proximity to another person.
Haley says hairstyling is her passion, but it isn't an essential service.
It's summertime. I know everyone wants to get their hair done, but we don't really have anywhere to go right now. This is a beautiful time to just sit with yourself and take the time to just be. We don't need to have all of these services and putting ourselves at risk for things that really are trivial. You know, getting our hair done is a luxury.
Haley says a lot of hairstylists and clients don't see a need to rush to reopen.
For me, it's really humanity over vanity, and we are beautiful even if our hair is not done.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont said the state's made the decision after discussions with owners and employees of salons and barbershops. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Some cemeteries on Long Island will allow groups to place ceremonial flags at the tombstones of military veterans. But as WSHU's J.D. Allen reports, that won't be the case at national cemeteries.
The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has canceled the practice of placing American flags to honor service members buried at national cemeteries due to the coronavirus pandemic. That affects time-honored traditions at Suffolk County's Calverton National Cemetery and the Long Island National Cemetery, Pine Lawn. Visitation has continued amid the pandemic at the national cemeteries on Long Island, where more than 500,000 military veterans are buried. Families are required to wear face coverings and maintain a 6-foot social distance. There are no national cemeteries in Connecticut, but state-run cemeteries that they say will allow flag placement that follows social distancing. Veterans groups and Boy Scout troops encourage the donation of small flags or money to help them clean up the grave sites to reduce crowds at cemeteries. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone has asked the Department of Veteran Affairs to allow flag laying at Calverton. Coming up, transit workers in Connecticut push for more safety measures and hazard pay. But first, headlines and a message from our sponsor.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, now offering more testing for COVID-19. If you think you need a test, call 833-621-0600 or visit hartfordhealthcare.org/testing.
The town of East Hampton wants Governor Cuomo to delay the reopening of holiday hotels and motels until Long Island is ready to reopen. Hotels have stayed open throughout the pandemic after they were classified as an essential business, but the Hamptons Beach community wants to prevent overcrowding from tourists expected after Memorial Day. They want the governor to clarify this classification. Long Island is not expected to meet all of the benchmarks set by the state to reopen until mid-June. Aerospace manufacturer Raytheon Technologies has announced a temporary 10% pay cut for workers in the new fiscal year in order to reduce pandemic-related costs. These cuts include employees at its Connecticut subsidiaries Pratt & Whitney and Collins Aerospace Systems. Raytheon executives say they will also take a 20% pay cut over the next 6 months. More than 1,000 inmates are under lockdown at the Osborne Correctional Institution in Somers, Connecticut. This is after more than 100 prisoners have tested positive for COVID-19. The State Department of Corrections began testing everyone incarcerated last week. A federal judge is scheduled to hear arguments next week in a lawsuit designed to force Connecticut to better protect inmates from the coronavirus. The ACLU of Connecticut wants the state to release more inmates to protect them from the virus. Transit drivers in Connecticut have made a federal safety complaint against the private bus companies that they work for. Mustafa Salahuddin represents drivers in Bridgeport and Milford. He said he filed an OSHA complaint against Milford Transit.
They're not giving them the proper PPE. They're making them disinfect their own buses after they finish their tours. And they're doing it with rubber gloves and a surgical mask without hazmat coveralls. Some of them are up in age, 66 and 77 years old.
According to Milford Transit, bus drivers are not required to sanitize their own buses and are given masks and hand sanitizer. Still, as Ryan Lindsay reports, transit drivers are asking Connecticut to give them hazard pay.
A caravan of bus drivers from across the state gathered at the state capitol with signs and demands for the state and their employees to step up. Shantae Grant is a CT Transit bus driver in Stamford. She says it's scary going to work every day, especially when not all passengers wear masks.
We are essential workers. We are on the front line each and every day, putting ourselves at risk, putting our families at risk, and we deserve hazardous pay. We deserve to be accommodated for our work each and every day, for putting our lives at risk.
Governor Ned Lamont acknowledged the drivers' protest during a press conference, commending their hard work.
We're here to back them up in any way that we can.
Lamont said more masks are on the way, but he made no commitment on hazard pay. Officials from CT and Norwalk Transit said hazard pay is not in their budgets. Thursday night, a New Haven CT Transit maintenance worker passed away from COVID-19. Howard Rogers was hospitalized for weeks after testing positive. Rogers is the first CT Transit employee to die from the virus.
That was Ryan Lindsay reporting. For the latest on the coronavirus and all news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. You can tell us what you like or don't like about today's show through your podcast app. You can also send me an angry or nice tweet. Send it to _Charles Lane. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.